I'm going to try to do something kind of wild tonight, so bear with me. What's that?
Fasten your seatbelt.
Hang on.
Get a Bible.
Something out of the
ordinary.
It's a good thing, boy. I was about to get bored and take off.
In stealth, we're studying the burnt offering. And it's the highest order of offering that there is. And it's that which is pleasing to God. And the word for burnt offering is the Hebrew word which means holocaust, or being burned in the ovens, or being burned in the jet plane, or the irony of the highest order of sacrifice there is in the Hebrew law is the word olah. And yet it's the word for the worst thing that can happen to the Jewish nation, the Holocaust. And it's what it is the baptism of fire.
Being brought up in this Jewish nonsense and the constant, bringing up the Holocaust, it's always this. I mean, that's the banner now. That's really the banner. But that just added a new dimension to the purpose of that whole experience for, in the flesh, the Jewish nation. It's like here was a real hot fire for the Jews, and instead of for them being a test, it's like the suffering itself was
became the identity.
The identity.
Yeah. The month of Tammuz is the month that, in the spirit, we're in now. It's between the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Ab. And those are the months that roughly correspond to our July and August. We've redeemed the time when we've shifted it, but it's still, in spiritual terms, Tammuz and Ab are the middle of the months of summer. In the Mediterranean, especially in the ancient Phoenicia, the month of Tammuz was a time of great feasting, and because there's not really a lot to do in an agricultural society during that period, except you get rid of a few weeds every now and then and stuff. But it's great. It's a great time for partying. And a great time for spiritual licentiousness. And while the world is celebrating during the month of Tammuz in orgiastic, is that the word? High hand? Orgiastic rites, Israel is going through the terrible process of being between the straits. Now, it just shows us how set apart we are from everything else. Now, all of this is intimately connected with the lists I've asked you to make, i.e. compulsion. And the idea that at some point, at some aspect in your being, every compulsion that you have has to excite your pleasure principle, even if by another's observation your compulsions are detrimental to you as a human being. Do you understand me? You couldn't have a compulsion that didn't trigger
right.
your pleasure center. Now, in one way or another, by definition, every compulsion is sexual. Well, let me modify it. Every compulsion is sexual, and it's either sexual or eating, but that's the same, and I don't want to have any wise-ass remarks. Spiritually, they're the same thing. Your sexual activity, any compulsions you may have, even ones that are related to response triggering, are the same as eating or sex. Can you get a hold of that just a little bit, so to speak? So, during the month of Tammuz, at the time of the scriptures, it was the time in which your pleasure centers were totally and completely served. It was, we're talking party. In comparison to those rites, we don't know about partying today. Now, the other aspect that you have to connect with all this in order to have any tie to it and emotionalize it is, not only are all of these compulsions sexual, are having to do with your eating, but they are ultimately religious liturgy. They are rites of, we'll see, I'll show you in a while, they are the rites of Baal Peor, which is the place that, it's up there somewhere, it's just before they entered the promise, when Israel totally and completely accepted all the Midianite gods, and they were sort of watching for a while, and they were watching all these rites, and here Israel is just sitting around having a bad time and waiting for the promise, and so they said, fuck it. And they did. And God killed 24,000 of them in one day. In the spirit, it was the same kind of thing. He caused an airplane. He caused a napalm effect. Now, if you can believe that all of your compulsions are religious acts within your own high place activity, and all of those compulsions, just as Israel was permitted to worship on all of the high places. Even Elijah, he got ticked off at the people because they had destroyed some of his high places. This is Elijah. But all of the high places were permitted until the temple was dedicated in Jerusalem, the one place. And then by law, all other religious worship had to cease, save you couldn't offer sacrifices at any place other than the temple. Can you get a picture of that? You can now go to Genesis 3. That's a mini introduction to compulsions. Hopefully I can tie it all together. Now, you've all heard me teach. Go over to the Genesis 2:16 first. Everything starts at this point, both in history and in you. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And in that parenthetical thing, I mean, it doesn't make sense that we talked about. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living thing or every living creature, that was the name thereof. So now, if you've been here for the language tapes, you know that was what caused the fall. The naming of the name. Because it gave Adam the capacity to reason. Now, keep that in mind, because that's integral to what we're about to say. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Now, the first Adam is simply a type of Christ. And Christ reviewed all of humanity passing before him, and there was not a helpmeet for him. There was no, it was like, you know, you've spent enough time in singles bars to know there are a bunch of animals, a bunch of dogs. Well, the reason you feel that way is because that's the feeling that Christ had as he watched God's creation. There was no helpmeet for him. You understand me? Now, keep that concept in mind, because that desire for a helpmeet is the type of every compulsion that you have. I mean, every compulsion that you have is the type of that desire for a helpmeet. The only reason you have a compulsion is because you think you're alone and you need to do something about it. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. In the Hebrew, it says, and he slept, and he slept, and he slept. Well, that's what you've been. Thus far, you've been asleep. And just like with Abraham, when the horror of great darkness and the covenant was made, Abraham fell asleep when God cut the covenant. And so in the twilight of your awakening, you're caught between two worlds of darkness and of light. And you tried all these things like, well, I'll take heed to that light shining in the dark place, because I think the day sometime is going to dawn. I hope it will. But then you fall back. It's like the great compulsion that just about everyone is afflicted with is masturbation. And it's always used as an excuse to go to sleep. You can't sleep. Even if you try to fast from it, you will reach a point where you can't go to sleep. Well, I'll just... Am I communicating with anybody?
Yes, yes. I knew there was a camera in my room.
And you even... So, all we have to do is wake up. You understand? All right. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and slept and slept. And he took one of his ribs. It doesn't really say ribs, it just says sides, but there's an interesting parallel, which we'll see here in a minute, that when the spear was thrust into the side of Christ, that was the Father fulfilling this original type. So that and the rib which God, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman. Now, the word there is that word that means build, or we build an altar, or it means edify, as the body of Christ being edified. But more importantly, it means understand. And Lord God, and he caused the understanding. Well, I won't dwell on that tonight, but the Lord God had taken from man, and he made a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." That's the covenant. God, from that point, is obligated to treat you, if you're a participant of the covenant, and all you have to do is go to sleep, and you've been asleep, so all you do is wake up, that you are now bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. That means separation is impossible. You understand me? That's the covenant. The singular covenant, the purpose of time and space, not Old Testament, New Testament, not little dealies and little dealies. It's bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Now, as that knowledge and understanding is imbued in you, understanding, then you shall be builded up as the body of or belonging to Christ, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. All compulsions happen so that you can see through the lie of being separate. So the compulsions that you have are of God. Alright. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Now that's you. Man there is the word that means male or female. You leave your father, what it says, you leave the gods of your father. That's why Christ said no one could come to him unless you hate. You leave the mother because that's no longer your identity. And you cleave unto his wife, or he's cleaving unto you. In the ultimate act of intimacy. That's why snuggling feels so good. Now, most of you aren't really that sexual. What you really are is you really need you've confused the need for intimacy, i.e. cuddling, with sex, and therefore then all kinds of performance anxieties come into being, because sex is a performance. Cuddling is just sort of hanging around. If you hang around long enough, there's no concern for performance. Am I communicating? And they were both naked. Now, the word there doesn't just mean naked, without clothes, it means totally exposed, open. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now that's why we can commend ourselves openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God, and not be ashamed, not be confounded, not be concerned for what someone may think of us. Even in our weirdest compulsions. Why? Because he has cleaved to us. We're one flesh and we're no longer ashamed. Now comes the trouble. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Now, go to 1 Corinthians 15. The fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the fruit thereof is the law. That's the law has always been before Adam, before you, before all of mankind. It's a tree in the midst of your garden. And you chose to eat of that tree, the law, for the reasons that...
Did Eve eat because she saw separation, because she thought she was separate?
She ate because she thought she was separate first from Adam. And then from, ultimately, from God. Now, remember what we've said about words. The word death or dead only means what we've agrimentally pretended it to mean. The word death simply means, from a spiritual standpoint, is separate from life. And so, let me read. First Corinthians 15, verse 52, or verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be transfigured, metamorphosed, changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, you are a universe within yourself. And just as in the universe as a whole, the last trump shall sound. In fact, the last trump has already sounded, but you can't hear it. You have to hear the last trump in your understanding. You have images because of things that have taken place, that the last trump is going to be the ultimate separation. And so you fear this moment. It could come tonight in you. The last trump is the Holocaust, the ultimate Holocaust. It's the burnt offering complete. Have you ever smelled burned flesh? The scripture before when we started on this, I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. The other one that says that God, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. God is making manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. To the one, the savor of death unto death. The reason that you don't hear the last trump now is that you're afraid the last trump in you will cause you to smell death. In the Psalm of Ascent, the smell of death on the wind. Now, all of your compulsions are attempts to avoid that smell. Okay, let's go on. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. For the sake of discussions right now, I want you to understand and hear this clearly, that for you as a isolated universe, the only thing you know about sin in experiential basis is your compulsion. That's the only thing that has an emotional impact on you.
Because the other stuff you can stop.
The other stuff you can slough off or excuse, or you can finesse.
You can say, I got better at it.
But your compulsions cause you and all men to finally, once and for all, have an emotionalized impact of the word sin. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. You've tried everything in the world. Am I getting a little close?
Yeah.
Now, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The only reason that you are bent out of shape and emotionalized the idea of sin from your compulsions is that you have heard or read or somewhere in here that you shouldn't do that. You ate of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that law strengthened your compulsion. The strength of sin is the law. You got to hear this, otherwise you'll never understand what I'm going to say next. Can you think of anything that is on your list that would be on your list if it was all right in your mind to do it? Let me give you an example. There is nothing more disgusting to you than defecating. I mean, it should be more disgusting. It smells bad. Probably, I've never done it, but it probably tastes bad. It's all gunky and ugly. But I'll bet you shitting is not on one of your lists. And it's something that you compulsively do. You understand me? Perspiring isn't too neat either. It makes you smell bad. It's sticky. But I'll bet perspiring isn't on one of your lists. The strength of compulsion is the law. Okay, now go to Exodus 32. Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry, I didn't read the good news. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you don't believe that in the area of your compulsion. You believe that every time a compulsion arises within you, that Jesus Christ is dead in vain. Well, you may not say that. But then why did God... I'm serious. I would have invented a whole new different way of doing this. Exodus 32. Before we go there, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. Everybody got it? Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. That rock... Well, that's another story. I don't want to go into that.
Oh, damn it.
And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, types, figures, metaphors, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Well, you can get real religious about that. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples or figures or types, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. So all of that said, the wherefore connects it. All of that was said to flee from idolatry. Okay, now let's see this ultimate idolatry. Let's go to Exodus 32. See if we can make some ties here. Or as Harry used to always say, a gestalt. Harry used to love that word. Sounds like a German word. And when the people saw that Moses... And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which make us a god, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods. As I said, it doesn't say that. I don't know why in the hell I translated it this way. It says, This be thy God, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings, the highest level of offering that you could make, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Now, every compulsion that you have is you building that offering, that molten image. You're making an offering to it. You understand that? Because Moses, or in your mind, Christ, has delayed his coming. Now, the only reason that you even have a sense of time is because, why? Because you ate of the tree. So the only thing that's giving strength to your compulsions is the law. The only reason that you can perceive that he has delayed is because you've named the names. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But don't you understand?
The only reason that we perceive that he's been delayed, that he's delayed in coming, is because we've named the names.
Do you understand? Remember from the language tape, the language sessions, that Your only capacity, the only reason you have a capacity to think about tomorrow, or to think that tomorrow, or have the capacity to reason, is because you've named names.
Yeah.
You understand that? You understand? If you didn't have any language, if you didn't have an alphabet, that you wouldn't be able to think about tomorrow.
Yeah.
Therefore, you wouldn't be able to think whether or not he's delayed his coming or not. Therefore, you wouldn't have any perception of yourself. Okay. You got it?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, I've got it. I mean, it just doesn't... I don't know if I've got the fullness of it, but I understand.
What's going on, Harry?
I'm trying to not try. No. This is like... Without the names and without a perception of sequential events and linear time and without perception that he has delayed, you just said he wouldn't even have self-awareness. I think I'm right on the brink of understanding that self-awareness and awareness of self and belief that he is not here is the duality. And that the knowing that he is here and the absence of self-awareness is one. Life is an earthquake, sir.
Well, let me see if I can find what I want to talk about. Remember what the lie was back when we first started in Genesis 3 a little while ago?
Thou shalt not even touch it.
Thou shalt not even touch it. Last night I gave you a definition of suffering. Suffering was not getting what you wanted. You understand that? Okay, let me give you another definition of suffering. In the spirit, suffering or hardship is associated with being forced to eat, actually or symbolically, what is unpleasant. Let me. You understand that? Hardship or suffering is being forced to eat, in actuality or symbolically, that which is unpleasant to you.
It's not like that what I would not do, I do.
You have to take it in.
You can't. Seems like a compulsion to me.
I think I'm just going to go for the short hairs. Let me see if I can communicate something by going in another direction. Now remember, the word that was used, the offerings that were used, was the burnt offering to the golden calf that we just read about when they built the golden calf because Moses delayed his presence. The word means to consume. Burn. But the word to eat is the same word with a variant. When you eat, it's the Hebrew word akal. It just means to consume or to burn on the fire, on the altar. Now, every compulsion that you have, as we talked about, even sexual, ends up to be a variant of eating. It's something that sustains you, something that gives you sustenance. Now, what did Moses do with that golden calf? He ground it into small bits and then made him, and put it in the water and made him eat it. the hell does that mean? What does that have to do with the... And that golden calf, I can assure you, is the abomination of desolation that's set up in here. I promise you that. And the Fast of Tammuz is the breaking through the wall that we can look and see it. It's really only one idol, but it has all these other things that we've studied about.
Yeah.
We got to take that idol, we got to break it up in small pieces and force each of us to eat it. So that our sustenance, so that we have with Christ a food to eat that they know not of. And we have an altar to eat on that they can't eat of, they can't be partakers of. Now how do you do that?
Why do you make them eat it? I don't understand that.
To be fed up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You obviously know where I'm going with this.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of...
Normally I catch on to these things.
Harry knows. I think Harry knows.
He
knows.
He knows.
No.
He knows, he's just not telling.
The only strength of your compulsions... do you understand something that I... that to you, I represent an authority figure?
Right.
Do any of you have that? Do you understand that a little bit?
Huh?
You don't understand that? Probably I represent your greatest authority figure. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, is there anybody else who you go to, you know?
I would do what you said.
Yeah. I would check with anyone.
Okay.
No,
that's true.
I'm going to say something really wild to you. Every one of your compulsions are okay. You don't have to try to schedule them. You don't have to try to do little things to try to work them around. And everyone here, when we read our lists, are going to agree that everybody else's compulsions are okay.
What?
That certainly takes the wind out of your sails.
I
mean, part of the compulsion is secretly feeling glee with how
bad. But I see what you're saying. Everybody eats.
That's what takes away the power to think of it.
They become bored.
No, we're going to make you
eat it.
I don't care if your compulsions are sexual. I don't care if they're with drugs. I don't care if they're with alcohol. I don't care if they're with eating. Everything is okay. You might get arrested, but it's okay.
You know, I knew it had to come to this.
He's ready.
No, I wasn't ready. I mean, I didn't know where you were going with that, but a long time ago, I mean, if you carry many other things out in that are in here, they arrive at that point.
Okay.
They must.
I'm not going to ask you to fast from them. Every one of your compulsions is okay, but you have to have, there has to be a stone of witness, if you will, that we as a body in covenant, we'll agree that they're okay. That's why we're going to make them public. Do you understand how they're going to be... God's not going to change us. He transfigures us.
Amen. I like that.
See, every other...
You know how disappointed I would be if you said that God was going to change us? I mean, at this point in the walk, it's like, if I heard you say that, I would just...
You'd leave.
Yeah.
Your mind is a religious little guy. And your mind and the Antichrist loves the law.
Why? Why would the Antichrist love the law?
It's the only bit of power it has.
Because it's the only power.
The mind can only compare and contrast.
Well, it's like the serpent. That was his strength, was saying, look at this law here.
Right. It was more subtle than any beast of the field. Again, let me return to, for somebody go to 1 Corinthians, no, 2 Corinthians 11, 1, 2, 3. Read it.
I would.
Okay.
No, I think you
know. Yeah. She wants to read.
2 Corinthians 11, 1, 2, 3. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
The serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety of the law, the trespass.
It's interesting you should read that one, because, that's like a little microcosm of the whole thing. Because you hear that word beguile, and you think, well, I better look out, I better get on the ball, and see what I'm supposed to do and not supposed to do right now. You don't even get to the simplicity of Christ.
Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ is simple. You are perfect. Right now. You are holy. Right now. You are forgiven. Right now. You are accepted. Right now. There is nothing that you can do in the future to make yourself more acceptable than you are right now. Now, my role is to prevent every one of you perfect in Christ Jesus. To let nothing confuse you from the simplicity. Now, the thing that has been confusing you from the simplicity, I know most of you a little bit. I know you, well, you end up knowing all men. But the thing that has confused you from the simplicity is your perception of sin is the things that you are compulsive about. The other things are non-issues to you.
Is that why things that like that pour through the media that most seem to control people is like diet stuff, or it's just like the compulsions of the masses?
Yeah.
Cigarettes.
Now, here. Christ was the trespass offering, and he was the sin offering. Christ, therefore, his offering. This trespass, this should be reversed, trespass should be here, but the trespass offering is all the stuff that you do wrong. All the stuff that has ever been wrong. All the stuff that, it's sins that you don't even know you did wrong, but somehow you still feel guilty about them. But the key that you have to see here is that it's all the stuff, and it's all the mistakes. It's all the screw-ups. But it's all the ones that he took the iniquity. Forget the whole human race right now. It's you. You got to personalize this. He took all of your past mistakes. He took all of your mistakes today. And all mistakes that you could possibly make in the future. And laid them on him. The Father laid them on him. So, I keep telling you can do nothing against the truth. I scare the hell out of you because you don't believe it. Now, the sin offering covers you as your basic nature. Your basic nature is you're a child of the devil. So he made an offering for that. It's
Sin is, this sin here isn't what you do, that's the trespass. Sin isn't what you do, it's what you are. So he made the offering for that. Now, that is as far as your mind will ever let you get, and it's as far as the modern church has ever gone. They have not even gone to the sin offering, they're at the trespass offering. They accept that he covered your past sins. They don't believe he covered your today, and they sure don't believe that they're going to cover tomorrow. Neither do you. So therefore, you secretly believe that you have to get it right. Now, if you have to get it right, first of all, it'll take the joy out of living. Joy will be impossible. And hear me, every time you believe that you have to get it right, it's the evidence that you're still asleep. Now, when you become aware that you're asleep, you can wake up. The period, you know, I keep bugging you all about in sloth. Sloth is just the period of time, the twilight, or that period between when, the grogginess when you're just waking up before you had your cup of coffee. Or even before, you know, it's just that. But that's not your destiny. Your destiny is to be fully awake, fully alive, fully engaged. The thing that's keeping you from that position of being fully engaged and fully alive and in your mind acceptable, the things are your compulsions. Because the strength of those compulsions is you have believed an authority figure that said to do those things was wrong. Now, I don't know, if I were you and I had been involved with me as long as you have, I don't think that there is anyone in my life that I would have had, that would have had more, I'm not saying this lightly, that would have had more influence on me than me did. Am I communicating?
Yes.
Huh?
That's easy for you to say.
No, I'm serious.
No, I know you
got to hear this. Yeah. That's the role of the priest or the rabbi.
Yeah, you can talk about authority.
Yeah, there's no one, I would venture to say that if you had to write, you know, a school project, who has had the most influence on my life, I would be up there among the first few. The point of it is, as you have to have, because of the hunk of protoplasm you are, you have to have an authority figure to override the bullshit that came in from Molech. And I'm here tonight to tell you that every compulsion that you have is okay. You won't be judged. You're free. You can do it if you want to. You don't have to. It doesn't matter. I don't care if it's smoking or jacking off or wanking off or masturbating or whatever it is you call it. I don't care if it's eating. I don't care if it's coffee or cigarettes or dope. I don't care if it's kinky sex. It's okay. Do you understand that if you didn't think it was wrong, it would have no power over you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the only power that has over you. That's the only part I don't really understand. I mean, I understand the part about, I mean,
Yeah, the rest of it. I know about the lie, about all that business, but in fact, I don't understand how it being wrong has to be there.
From God's standpoint?
I know that it is, but just from
The way
the nature of
from the
process.
Nature of it, yeah. Tautologically.
Yeah.
What? It has to be there in the economy of God so that you will take it to its end. I mean, how can I say this? Let me think of it. Think of past things that you've been compulsive about that are no longer compulsions.
I can tell you what. Pinball.
Okay, pinball.
For 2 years, I had to play pinball.
Okay.
Compulsively. I did that.
Okay, pinball for some, it was jigsaw puzzles for some, it was Scrabble, or, you know, there's a jillion of them that you could go through.
Black hookers.
But
that was one of mine.
Huh?
That was one of mine for almost 3 years.
Okay, there is whatever your compulsion is that you've worked through, it didn't define in other words, it could have been worked through with psychology, or it could have been worked through with group therapy, or it could have been worked through with anything, with any, or it could have just been worked through with time. I'm talking compulsions that control you. Those are the compulsions, believe it or not, that define your office in the body of Christ.
Weird.
And that's the next step we're going to get into.
Let's come back to this. the only
compulsion that most visceral one that I've had experience with that doesn't seem to control me anymore. Maybe it doesn't realize it's hot. It's like the way that some people smoke cigarettes is the way I was hot.
That's right.
I know.
Just like
that's why I said pinball, because for those 2 years I had to go play it, and that's one of the other reasons why I said it, because I felt bad about it. I thought it was wrong parts of the time. I thought, this is stupid.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, though. Like, number one on my list is seeking approval, okay? And I was not conscious that I did that kind of thing until you said so. And it was horrible, and I couldn't get out of it, and it's still, you know, this major compulsion. Now you say it's okay. It's bizarre.
But it's okay.
Where are you going with this? When are you going to do this?
When are you going to do this?
Well, in case you say,
really? We'll do it, and all of a sudden,
it's okay for the purpose of.
For no purpose, because you're going to do it anyway.
Yes, sir.
It's okay for the purpose of getting sick of it. It's okay for the purpose of seeing it as bad. I mean,
No. That's conditional.
It's interesting that your brain should throw that in there.
Yeah, there's no condition.
Ain't no condition, no.
There's no condition.
For the purpose of seeing it as bad.
Yeah, it confronts grace.
Do you understand if you could define where it was going, then it would still retain...
Law.
Right.
Uh-huh.
It's just simply okay.
Period.
That takes the teeth right out of your accusation.
Well, hear me. This has, see, God designed us in such a way that we would end up in a body. Not just us. I mean, that's the the intent for all. I mean, so that we would do this thing of being, you know, small enough to, you know, all the stuff that you know what I'd say about it. It's imperative that there be someone that comes into your life in the name of God that has more authority in you than anything else you've ever met. Otherwise, I mean, can you? I mean, if I.
Otherwise, you're
king
of the
world. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what Christ did. I mean, that's why he.
Yeah. And that's why, I mean, this is your lot. This is the next step on your way to priesthood.
That
sounds buzzing.
You know,
it's,
you more than anybody need the law. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Amen.
The whole house of cards collapses, man.
All of your structures.
You're
in big
trouble.
You're blowing on your cards there.
Yeah. What do we think about this?
No, but
it's like so we're saying these compulsions aren't going to go away.
I'm not saying one thing or another. I don't care whether they go away or not. It doesn't matter.
But I mean, suddenly we've preached against compulsions. Now we're changing our teaching.
Why? Where did I preach against compulsions?
Be consistent.
Wait a minute. Now tell me when I preached against compulsions.
It seems like in the whole sessions leading up to this, we've been quiet.
You
know,
we
need some light.
No,
we I don't know.
He said,
we're
alone
here.
I'm
drowning fast. You're
learning fast. What was on your list were the things that you thought were evil? People said that they were evil. And everybody got all bitter.
No, I gave you a hint of this the last time we met. If you remember when I said that. You know, we talked. I don't know. I can't remember, but I remember I did. And I, because the only thing my remembrance of it was, I wished I wouldn't have said that then, because I wanted it to come to a point where you would be totally shocked by, because you've all had a tinge of fear.
To put it mildly.
Yeah. We had the tinge of fear anyway.
Yeah.
You know what's weird? I was over here thinking, he's going to tell us.
Hudson.
He's going to tell us it's cool or something. But it's funny because the voice that said that didn't even believe that. It was like, no.
No.
I figured we just go to the ranch and lick the carpet again.
That was my best case scenario.
Yeah,
I
thought
it was
going
to go to the ranch and beat the shit out of each other.
That may happen anyway.
Very well.
But it's so simple. But the process here is so complex.
Mm-hmm.
You've built this in such a way to be able to. This idol can be worshipped from every possible angle and every stimulus in your life except one. Mercy.
Mm-hmm. What idol?
Every
one. The big one you built. There's only one idol.
The
you look at it, but the golden calf. The abomination of desolation.
You can do everything but...
It can take every possible assault except one. Mercy. Now you are complete in Him. Now you are accepted in Him. Now you are perfect in Him. Now you are forgiven in Him. There is nothing that you can possibly do or have done that isn't covered. Now, by this act, and this act alone, you are accepted in the brethren. And your mind will now know that. I've never yelled at you for what you think your mistakes are.
The most you're getting yelled at is for license, taking the law and twisting it. To excuse
See, now, the Pharisees will call what I said tonight ultimate license.
When you, as you just went through that list of in hymns, that's what he meant when he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks?" It's like, yeah, you're a little shit, but come here anyway, you know?
What is the difference in what you just said in life? I mean, that's what's, I think, essentially troubling me.
None.
Somebody wants to hear.
Look at you.
Oh, dear.
It's like watching a golden calf just...
Here, drink this.
Have a golden calf smoothie.
That's the real answer.
Yes, it is.
It is the real answer.
The ultimate real answer.
Give me all that power.
All things are wrong.
What was your question? I didn't hear it.
What is the difference between what we just said and license? He said there's no difference.
There isn't any difference. There's not.
You want to see what they said of Paul?
Buckle in, big guy.
No, all I can assure you is that everyone will always see the preaching of the doctrine as license.
Fundamentally, if everything's okay, why do we get yelled at? Why did Doug and I get yelled at for saying something stupid outside? Why do you yell at people who have sex before they get married? Why,
Because of the sanctity of the type. The closer the parable, the closer the activity is to the closer the parable is to the mystery, to the ultimate mystery, then the hotter the fire is. Mm-hmm. I'll devote my entire being to protecting the purity of that parable, that mystery. All things are lawful.
Yeah. This is like the ultimate of, I don't care what you do, but I just want you to know what you're doing.
Right. Now I'm just saying, but now, no, but you heard that in law.
Oh, I know, yeah. But I'm just saying that
the implication is it's a negative.
Yeah. But all this time we've just been learning what we were doing.
All we are is a bunch. Last night a really neat thing happened to Tyro. When David, the man in the wheelchair that Margaret Ruth brought, when she walked by him, it was like she felt a bubble inside her that was going to burst. I mean, and she felt like, you know, touching him or speaking or something, but she pulled it back. And each one of us has an office in the universal body, a spiritual office, that is equally important with every other office. And your role is to fulfill it. Now, it's not just, you know, everybody's either a priest or a Levite. That's not the issue. But among the priests and the Levites, there is a function in activity that you all already there. You're there. You don't know it yet. Now, in Tyra's, I am convinced that part of it is this thing of healing. And I've talked to her about it. She was condemning herself for not having done something because, you know, she didn't know what to do. I mean, she didn't know whether she should go over and lay hands on him or say something to him or... And I said in the spirit that was the same thing that happened with Jeremiah when he said, "I am a child, I cannot speak." And then God said to him, "Say not, you're a child." Now, the point to you is that every one of you believe that you're still a child and you cannot, whatever it is, whatever your function is, you don't even know what it is. The way you know what your function is your impulse. And I guarantee you that impulse and compulsion are closely related. But, I mean, you guys don't, when I look at you, I see the ones that are written of in here. I see the Deborahs. I see the women of faith that raising people from the dead. I see the apostles that people were healed by walking in their shadows. You don't yet see that. That's what I see in you. If I didn't see that in you, I'd quit because we'd just be another church. You have more power than you've ever dreamed of. You have more to give than you've ever dreamed possible once you lose the sense of self. Tyra can't believe it when I said this, Harry, that I was afraid to teach and preach. That I wouldn't open my mouth. I mean, all of us, in the spirit, each one of us is like a little child, and we as a body are like that little child. We're just starting to crawl. And God's got his hands out, and we're, okay, get up. And so we stand up, and we fall on our ass, and we say, oh, shit, I screwed up. I'm never going to try to walk again. I couldn't get mad at you because you fell on your ass. But in the area of the office in the body, each one of you are like that little child, that little baby. You can't make a mistake. But you have to trust that compulsion and that impulse. I won't go in tonight, but, I mean, it's like, phew. Every compulsion, everything that you think is wrong that you do is now declared okay. I mean, we might kid you about it a little bit. Now, they crucify you for these kind of statements. Well, we're going to do this public thing next time we meet. So, Wednesday, I guess.
It was funny because I talked to Pete on the phone and he was doing your list and I said, well, I just can't think of anything right now. And I just talked to him for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, all of a sudden I had a list.
Everybody's scrambling to revise their list again. Throw more stuff on it.
Yeah, everybody's going to throw more.
And I had number 57.
It's perfectly okay.
Which is now
encouraged.
Now you're encouraged.
Well, he's wanting you to add more to your list.
I mean, work. The cross has either redeemed us or it hasn't.
If it hasn't,
let's quit playing games.
You should have looked.
Anybody have anything?
We don't have anything.
Take it, big guy. And take it, too.